Welcome to Conversations with Community Managers, a podcast series with actual community managers from a variety of industries. On this podcast, we peel back the hype and get into how-to discussions that uncover community and social media management best practices. Conversations with Community Managers is a co-production of Voce Communications and the Community Roundtable.
This is Doug Haslam of Voce Communications.
And Jim Storer with the Community Roundtable, and we're joined today by Jay Batson, the Vice President and Co-Founder of Acquia. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Doug. How are you guys?
Great.
Let's kick things off by having you talk a little bit about Acquia and what you guys do in this space.
Sure. First, Acquia is an organization that provides commercial services around the Drupal open source web platform. You may have known of Drupal as a system used by people to build public-facing websites of various sorts, but it's also quite widely used for building community sites, interestingly. In fact, it's... tagline for years has been community plumbing, because it really is often used to build sites where there's a significant portion of content that's coming from the people who are the members of the site. So Acquia provides commercial services in various ways, subscription-based services for support and hosting and things like that, as well as professional services for consulting and architectural work and things like that. I was the founder of the project, of the company, along with Dries Bettaert. And Dries is the founder of the Drupal project. Drupal was started in the roughly 2000 timeframe and has grown to be quite a significant open source project in that time. It now has many hundreds of thousands of members at Drupal.org that are registered community participants, as well as many thousands of developers that develop code for Drupal the project. It's interesting to look at the dynamics of that project, and we might want to talk about that a little bit today as we proceed along, but we as an organization were founded by Dries and myself to try to address the more enterprise-oriented needs of the organizations that are using Drupal. And as we've done that, and of course Dries being the project founder, lots of questions came up around, you know, how do you manage the relationship between us, the company, and the community and things like that. So that might be interesting in various ways, because there might be some parallels amongst your listeners.
Yeah, actually, one of the first questions in our mind was, we think of Drupal as a community and any sort of open source initiatives as a community, and usually a very fierce and passionate community in and of itself. So what is your relationship, and how do you interact with that community?
Well, Dries remains the project lead of the Drupal community as the founder and as a kind of its single visionary. He is the guy who holds various kind of technical keys, in the sense if he picks a technical lead to work with him on every major release of Drupal. But Dries has also been careful over the course of time to develop a very, very inclusive culture inside the Drupal community, where almost anybody can contribute something to Drupal. And this inclusiveness came not only from just kind of policy, but also just even in technology choices. He built Drupal on PHP because it's a very easy language for new people to pick up and start with, and so it allows for people to contribute very quickly. As project lead, of course, there might have been some consternation in the beginning around whether or not him starting a company with me would be something to be healthy for the community. So one of the things, kind of maybe point number one to think about, is when you're starting a community, you actually have to think about what's good for the long-term health of the community and how do you make sure that that's also good for your firm. For example, in our particular case, we actually took some formal legal steps to make sure that Dries had the ability to make decisions for the technical side of the project that may have that can be fully independent of the company's own corporate goals. And we made that pledge public and did the things that were necessary in order to make sure that the community felt like we weren't going to be subverting the project for our own corporate goals. That may translate differently in other organizations, but oftentimes I think the important point to bear in mind is, what is it that your constituency, your community, is actually trying to do, and are what you're doing when you're setting up and making your community work or your organization work with the community, is that actually aligned? And think about that. I've looked at a couple of things recently that, for example, weren't aligned, and they may be good examples of ways not to behave depending on the kind of community you have. there's another project out there that previously has been called Hudson. Hudson is a tool that programmers and others use to automate some of the tasks they have around how they do builds and deployments and just the tactical stuff of moving code around and getting things done. That was developed in the Java language by a guy who was at Sun. And Oracle, as you know, recently acquired Sun. And in the process, Oracle tried to assert some intellectual property rights over the Hudson name. They technically owned it because Sun had owned it, and so they were asking some things of their community that the community wasn't ready to buy in on. And so the community up and left, renamed it Jenkins, took the code and to set up a new code repository somewhere else and are proceeding along at their own pace. And, you know, this is the thing about communities. They have their own kind of vibrant life. They are a beast in many ways that you have to kind of, you know, deal with as they are. You're not going to change the beast. So learning what's important to your community, making sure that you set up policies and operations inside your community that work well with you and your own corporate organizational goals is really tricky. It's easy to get wrong, and the damage can be severe if you do it wrong. So we actually opted here at Acquia to be slightly overcompensating and make sure that Dries had the flexibility that he needed to, that we didn't do things as an organization to kind of deviate the existing culture and policies of the existing project. And we also made sure that, for example, in our case, we as a company have decided that we don't want to do much in the way of website development because there are many website developers out there, and what we should be doing is creating the conditions in the community for other development firms to arise and become Drupal experts. And so we've actually focused a good share of our business on saying no to site builds and giving that business to our partners because it has had the effect of growing the community. So not only do you have to think about how do they stay the way they are, but also how can you grow them by serving their interests in some way. And frankly, at the end of the day, it's been a wonderful success for us to be able to do both of those because now Drupal continues on its very rapid growth pace, and we've, I think, established a place in the community that allows us the freedom to move as a business that we need to be.
Hmm. It's really interesting. So I want to switch gears a little bit and have you tell us a little bit about how you're seeing the space evolve. I mean, Drupal, as you mentioned early on, was seen as kind of the plumbing. And I wonder what you're seeing now in cases, what kind of companies are adopting it, how they're using it, that sort of thing.
Well, it's very interesting, and let me kind of come back up a level that rather than just Drupal. We think about Drupal, think about it in a number of different kind of solution areas. We see people like Wall Street companies that are adopting Drupal as their principal front end to all of the back end systems that may actually be running using various other platforms, whether it be custom coded Java or off the shelf ERP applications or things like that, to plain old marketing websites, to community sites. And there's a couple of things to note. First of all, I think Drupal has finally begun to say that it's crossed the chasm of the kind of Jeffrey Moore chasm of is it ready to adopt at the enterprise level. I think the things that are getting it there are simply the sheer number of other enterprises that are doing so. I think that oftentimes you'll see organizations not adopt something simply because it's the technical best solution, but because it feels safe. A CIO or an IT manager feels like, okay, I won't go wrong with this if I invest some amount of time and organizational energy into it. But although I think we've seen Drupal cross that chasm, we've only seen a handful of Drupal community sites kind of cross that chasm. Most of the community sites have been kind of in the sub-enterprise level or in the political level. Drupal actually got a big boost from the Howard Dean campaign, where it was used as a community site and as part of the Howard Dean campaign's fundraising was what really put Drupal on the map in many ways. But I think looking at community things, we haven't seen that many adopted. And frankly, that's part of the history of Drupal in that Drupal is structured as something called core plus contributed modules, which are plugins that add functionality. And people for an organization to build a community site meant they kind of had to invent what a community site would be. They had to pick out all the functions and features and try to see what else people had done out there and say, well, let's do that. And there was no kind of prepackaged solution for that. We at Acquia are trying to step into that gap by providing something called Drupal Commons, which effectively is a pre-built, pre-assembled community site using Drupal. that allows you to develop either a customer care site or a developer community site or an open government site or an intranet or whatever it may be. And it's got all those components prepackaged, pre-laid out. The information architecture is all kind of done, yet you still maintain the flexibility of changing the look and feel as you see it necessary for your organization, as well as adding all the normal Drupal stuff to it. So we see just now, I think, the beginning of Drupal's entry into the community space. Fortunately, I think that's okay. If you look at some of the market research that's coming from the folks like Forrester and Gartner, a fairly small percentage of the larger enterprise sites around the globe are really got a significant community site out there. They'll oftentimes have ones in certain product areas or things like that, but kind of no corporate strategy around community. This is where some of the other competitors have been able to sell into very well by saying, look, there's all kinds of opportunity here. I think there is opportunity here for organizations to build on. Unfortunately, now there's a way to do it with Drupal that's new. I'm starting to see, for example, some of the people we've seen adopt Drupal Commons. There's a global market research firm that is working with a global consumer products manufacturer. These products are very high-end product, cost tens of thousands of dollars, and manufacturer wants to get more insight into how their customers think about what they want. And so they want a community site, not only for the customers to bond with each other and create relationships that allow the customers to talk about what they've done with these particular products, but also for the organization and its market research firm to use as a listening device to see what's going to be most important for the company to address and that kind of thing. So I think we're starting to see those kinds of things show up, certainly being built with Drupal, I think also just in general with community sites and across the way. And I think those kind of four areas are the areas that I see most of the activity. And if I can just repeat them again, it's kind of customer care. We see an awful lot of technology companies building, you know, external facing sites for their technology developers, open government and intranets. I think those are the ones where we see most of the activity.
From a kind of a general community standpoint, where you know you think about what you give to the community and what you get out of it, and dealing with wider open source, do you find examples, both good and bad, in some of the other? Because there are other open source communities. I think community is kind of a standard part of a lot of open source by its very nature. And even going back to, say, the Linux communities, as well as WordPress and some others, even if you might see them as competing. Do you see that these communities intersect at all, or do you see lessons or examples, things that you could take from those communities that actually help in help your participation in the Drupal community?
You know, that's an interesting question. We do look at the other communities fairly extensively. I worry a little bit that taking lessons from developer communities is applicable to more widespread horizontal style organizations. Engineering communities and technical communities are kind of unusual in certain ways. But on the other hand, they tend to be early adopters of communities. And so if you are an organization that has some technical kinds of products, whether they be, plastic type things that are sold through architectural firms or sold to builders through architects and things like that, they'll have some characteristics that are like that. And I think there's probably a couple of things that are worth paying attention to. One is, where does the community think about, what does the community think about the economic model of how their community works? In the open source world, there are different kinds of models. If you look, for example, at the Joomla community, which is another alternative CMS that is out there in the world, we, of course, think Drupal's a lot better for lots of reasons, but if you look at Joomla, the Joomla community has thrived based on two things, probably. First is they adopted a culture of paid add-ons to Joomla. So there are lots of people out there who have a small thing that will handle users and roles or handle whatever it may be, event management or something like that, that costs you negligible amount of money per year, but you buy it on a subscription basis. And the Joomla community adopted that pretty early on, and it's been interesting to see both the pro and the con of that. The pro was that, of course, a lot of little guys got to make some money. But the con is that the community adopted a culture of, well, I'm not going to do anything unless I can make money in it. And so the Drupal community has a much larger plethora of contributed modules that are available for free. They're actually quite good as compared to the Joomla community, which has some good ones, but they're for pay, and then there are big gaps in between. And so this is just an example of the commercial stuff of your particular community. What are the expectations of your community and how they make money, and how can you as an organization facilitate it in some way? I think the Drupal community has done a good job at saying we're going to enable a lot of people to be in this community and make money, but just not through selling software. I see other examples in other communities, whether it be the Lucene and Solr communities in the open source world. But again, I don't know how much we adopt from specifics in there. I'm more just looking at the general case. Look at what's the interests of your community. Developers are in a community, or people are in a community because they want to scratch their own itch. And are you giving them some way to not just scratch it, but maybe profit from it as well, because they don't want to waste their time. So that's an important thing to think about, and I think the Drupal community thinks about it a lot.
So, Jay, I'd like to ask one question to wrap up, kind of a future question. What do you see in the space? I mean, obviously, you guys come to the space with a very different, I'll say, value proposition than some of the other platform vendors. What do you see happening? And, you know, you can say it, you know, obviously from your perspective. What do you see over the next 12 to 18 months in the space? It just seems like there's been a little bit of movement. It just feels like it's ready.
Well, I think there's two things to say. One is that what I was mentioning before about the analyst indicating that maybe there aren't these strategic plays yet happening in enterprises around communities and community sites means that there's a very pregnant opportunity. I think there's plenty of organizations out there that can have value from doing this. I even think about the value of doing simple things like product management. I was actually talking earlier today with a young man who's thinking about how do you open up the standard product management practice inside of an organization that develops any kind of product to being community-driven. You, of course, are going to always have your own strategic things that you want to do, but maybe it's worthwhile having a semi-private community where you can talk about the implementation of those things to help make sure that you hit spot on every time you do it. I think there's only a few companies in the world that have been able to do things in a vacuum and just get them right. You know, Apple does it, but you can't say that very often. Most companies are going to, you know, miss a couple of times, and communities can really help in getting that product management right. And I think that's just one example of the places where enterprises will start to see value. So I think, you know, there's a huge potential here. I think we're at a tipping point for communities at large, particularly, I think, external communities. I think intranets are useful, but I think the real insights that you're going to get from a business that you might not otherwise hear because there's not as good a communication channel is through the external-facing communities. I think the second thing is that, and I don't know if I want to be this, maybe controversial, but I think that the community platforms are going to be commoditized. I think if you look at the, for example, the Forrester Research wave on community platforms, Melissa Parrish was able to name kind of 25 or 35 core capabilities that any community platform has to have in order to be able to compete in the marketplace. And pretty soon they're all going to have them if they don't have them now. And once that happens, I think the prices and what it takes to differentiate change. I think the need to spend seven figures, high six to seven figures on a community platform diminishes quickly. I think that the alternatives for the basics will pull those prices down. And then competition happens at a different level than kind of technical capabilities. And I think that in our world, if I look at the prospects that are coming in our door asking us about Drupal Commons, almost all of them want to do more than just community with their site. So in Drupal's advantage here in the competitive world is that it can be not just a community platform, but it can be a complete web application platform and CMS. And so for those organizations that need both, it's a terrific choice where some of the other ones aren't. We also, of course, have the choice between hosted or self-hosted with Drupal, and you don't with some of the others that are purely SaaS-based. So I think that we'll see the basics get commoditized and some of the other areas be the ways in which companies compete.
Well, I know the community managers listening will be thrilled to hear that you think it's the future is bright for more and more communities being launched. That means there'll be high demand for their skills. So Jay Batson, VP and co-founder of Acquia, thank you very much for joining us today.
Great, and thank you.
Could you actually just tell our listeners where they can find you online?
Thank you for that. You can find us at www.acquia.com. Acquia is spelled A-C-Q-U-I-A.com. And if you want to learn about the Community Manager platform, just type on /Drupal Commons. That's D-R-U-P-A-L-C-O-M-M-O-N-S. at the end, no hyphen, and you'll get all you need.
Perfect. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You have been listening to Conversations with Community Managers, a co-production of the Community Roundtable and Voce Communications. To comment on what you have heard, email doug@voceconnect.com or jim@community-roundtable.com. You can comment on our blog posts at vocenation.com or community-roundtable.com/blog. Subscribe to this series on iTunes or on either blog.